I'd like to turn over, to start the message over in Matthew chapter 9. That's where I'm going to base the message from. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 says, "The disciples of John," talking about John the Baptist, "came to Jesus saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples, they do not fast?'" Now, we can get into that particular reason on another time, but what I want to bring out is verse 15. "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?'" So in other words, as long as I'm here, I'm with them, why do they need to mourn? "But the days will come when the bridegroom," Jesus Christ is talking about himself, "will be taken away from them." In other words, he is going to be crucified. He's going to go back to heaven. "And then they will fast." Today, let's look at God helping us to become more like him through fasting. Fasting can be used to overcome wickedness, as we will see in this message. I gave a message in December 2015, and it was titled, "What Does It Mean to Fast from the Scriptures?" There I brought out a number of reasons why we can fast. I had a number of points. One was to grow in humility. Two was for spiritual alertness and strength. Three, we fast to seek God's will in a certain matter. Four, we can fast to seek repentance for sin. Five, we can fast for God's help. And six, we can fast when we are sad. We have a deep sorrow. And seven, we can also fast for our love to God. Also in that message, I talked about that the only time we're required to fast for a full 24 hours is on the Day of Atonement. I went through the message to show that there are longer fasts and there are also shorter fasts than one day. But today, I want to have us draw attention at looking at a fast and becoming more like God, helping us to overcome those sins that are so hard for us to overcome with just prayer and meditation. Who likes to fast, right? It's uncomfortable. Our human nature, right? Who wants to overcome? Our nature doesn't want to overcome, right? The mind is enmity against God's nature. Just refresh your memories. Romans 8:7 says, "Because the mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. But we are called and we are drawn to God to overcome." That's our calling. So we know we have to overcome to be like God, to be in God's kingdom. And today I want to go through fasting as a requirement for us to be able to overcome, to be in God's kingdom, and that we need to be using it than more than just being on the Day of Atonement. I've titled the message, "Fasting, Used to Overcome Our Weakness, the Weakness of Giving In to Sin." I'll touch on more on that as we go through. We know that whatever we are set out to do, we're to do it with our might. We're not to be lazy. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might. Now that might can be physical, our physical things that we work on, but it also refers to the spiritual. Physically, if we want to grow a garden, we have to work at it. If we don't put our might into it, we're not going to have a successful garden. Oh, here's the seeds. Just throw them out. In Arizona, they're not going to grow. At least the things that we want to grow, cucumbers, tomatoes, carrots, onions, etc. I mean, we have wild seeds that fall on the ground and they grow. But if we're wanting to grow a garden, we have to put thought into it. We have to cultivate the dirt, get the right type of dirt, get the right pH level if you really want to have a good crop. Get the seeds, plant the seeds, water the seeds, care for the seeds, and as the plants are coming up, pick the weeds and make sure they're protected from the sun and from the rabbits or whatever else, the rodents that want to come and eat the fruit and the vegetables. So we have to put work into it. It doesn't just grow on its own, and we're waiting to yield that fruit. It takes work. So we put our might into it from every angle of putting together that garden. School. To get the best results in school, we have to be involved in school, right? And we have to study. I had some classmates that didn't get involved. They just showed up. Sometimes they're across the street smoking. They had a bad attitude. They didn't get involved. And look where they're at today. They didn't apply to be successful. Work. If we want to get a job, we have to be presentable. We have to be able to have something to offer to the employer. You have to be prepared in some way. If it's your first job, maybe you're 14, 15, you're your first job, you have no experience, but you've been called up. Hey, we got your application. We'd like to talk to you. What do you have to offer? Well, you're going to put on clean clothes. You're going to be pressed. You're going to brush your teeth. You're going to comb your hair. And you're going to show that, hey, I'm here to work. I'm here to learn. We go to college to prepare to get a better job, a good job. And when we get that job, we understand what the procedures are, we understand what the policies are, and we learn to be a good worker so we can keep our job. And if we want to excel in our job to be a manager, or if we're looking for another job in another area, we want to get a good resume? Not a resume, but a letter of recommendation, yeah, for doing a good job. So you have to do this. You have to put your might into it. We know people get fired because they don't put their might into it. Their focus is not on the job. And it's the same spiritually. Do you think that God can call us to this wonderful calling that we heard in the first message and just come here and sit and listen and just wait for the return of Jesus Christ and be expected to be in God's kingdom? Or do we have to put some might into it? We must produce fruit. Jesus Christ says in John 15, verse 16, he says, you did not choose me. You didn't choose me. My Father called you. But I chose you and appointed you because you were called, he's saying, that you should go and bear fruit, godly fruit. Overcome is what he's talking about. Overcome our desires, the enmity that we have against God and his understanding. And then he says, and that fruit should remain. And then he says, whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, that he may give it to you. So we must ask. We must know, we must produce fruit. We must know that comes through overcoming, and that that fruit must remain. And through that process is asking for help from the Father in Jesus Christ's name. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word. So we hear the word, and James is saying, be doers of the word. What we hear from the Bible, that's the word of God. And not hearers only, he says, deceiving yourselves if you're a hearer only. Yeah, hearing, oh, I need to fast. Oh, I need to overcome. Oh, I need to be loved. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I had to work on that. Are we doers? Do we desire to be doers? Revelation chapter 3, I think, is very pivotal, where Jesus Christ tells us to exceed to the highest level. He raises the bar for us in our calling. He tells us to overcome as he has overcome. Now, we know Christ never sinned, but Revelation 3:21 makes a very, for me, eye-opening statement. To him who overcomes. So it's not just here listening. Okay, I know I'm supposed to do this. But it's saying, no. He who's a doer, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne for eternity, is what he's talking about. But it's also, as I overcame, and how I sat down at my Father's throne. It has to be the same way. Matthew chapter 6. I mean, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, this is how you pray. We know the outline of the model prayer. Okay? Towards the end of the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus Christ is saying, as he's teaching them to pray, and it's also for us, he says, and do not lead us into temptation. In other words, help us when we're tempted to not fall into being tempted, is what he's saying. Pray, because you're going to be tempted. But pray that you're not delivered into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan. Help us to overcome Satan. Help us as the body of Christ. Help us to be praying for each other, to be encouraging each other, to be helping each other. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us the process of the example of what Jesus Christ did on this earth. And we are told that we are to have the mind of Christ, the same mindset that he had in his relationship with his Father. To put his Father first in his life was primary. There was nothing else. Hebrews chapter 12 says, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, this is the writer saying, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, others who have made it, others who are watching, the angels, let us lay aside every weight, the sin, the weight is the sin, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we're told to get rid of this weight, these sins that are still hanging on to us, that we still come into contact with every day. And let us run with endurance. Do not give up. Have that might to go on. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The word our is added. Jesus Christ is not the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. He set the example. He had the faith. He made it. And with Him and the Father, we can grow in that faith and have that same faith. For the joy that was set before him, the promise of understanding that he needed to have that goal to endure and anything that came before him. He understood the relationship that he had with his Father and what the Father was offering him for that joy, that promise of eternal life for us. He endured the stake. He endured the suffering, the pain, the humility, the beating, the excruciating pain, the disformation of his body, and also despising the shame, was able to sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Satan was responsible for taking the life of Jesus Christ. And even through death, he would not give in. He never let Satan give in. What about us? We're told to overcome sin. There's a stark contrast of what we need to be doing, or the mindset that we need to be having. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. The mindset that we need to have regarding sin. It's like pulling out a knife. Pull it out. Let's pull out the knife. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Do we want to use that knife to put out sin? We want to have that mindset. Are we willing to use it? Matthew 5, verse 29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. In other words, if you're looking at sin and you can't get rid of sin, you're constantly looking at it and saying, stop it. He's telling us, stop sinning. Because if we don't stop sinning, we're not going to be in God's kingdom. Because he says it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into eternal death. Verse 30. And if your right hand, the things you do in your life, whether it's working on the Sabbath, disobeying God's law, whatever it is, something that we keep doing. He says, cut it off, cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell, eternal death. Now, we don't physically do that. The analogy is spiritual. Get rid of sin. But we say, it's not working. I want to get rid of sin. It's on my mind. I'm determined. But these sins, or this sin, this particular one, or whatever, how many they are, they keep weighing me down. I have the mindset. I do not want to sin. But we still do. We come to that point where we're discouraged. We become stressed. We can't conquer sin. We even say, why is God not helping me through this? I'm praying about this. I desire to get rid of it. Jesus Christ, in the flesh, set the example and how to overcome Satan and how to overcome sin. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Just touch on a few points here. Matthew chapter 4. And it's the same for us. It's no different. Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes as I overcame. It's the same process. Yes, we sin. When we sin, we can repent. But we have to stop practicing sin. Matthew chapter 4, we see that his focus and determination was living by every word of God as primary in his life. He was only going to worship his Father when he's being tempted by Satan. And he would never tempt his God by justifying his situation, by sinning just a little bit to get some comfort for his physical body. He would overcome Satan through prayer and fasting. He had that mindset, and he was determined to do God's will. Matthew 4, Jesus Christ's focus, Matthew 4, verse 4, was this, when Jesus Christ was tempting him. He says, no, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water. He was hungry. He said, no. Satan is tempting him. Here. No, I am determined to reject you. I'm still fasting. But we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word is what he said. And that's what we should be focusing on when we fast. To live by every word. When we justify a little bit here and a little bit there, the fast is not going to work. What is the spiritual breakthrough when we fast? When does it happen? Well, looks like here in verse 2 says, well, let's read verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So, it's no different for us. We're going to be tempted as well. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. He was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights. I think we would get hungry before the 40 days and 40 nights. When we become hungry in our fast, we become afflicted. Our souls are afflicted. We're hungry. We're weak. If we're relying on God and wanting to live by every word of God, and we're determined in this process, then we are made strong through weakness. We're made strong, spiritually strong, by surrendering ourselves to God and afflicting our soul by going hungry and having that attitude. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul also emphasizes this. 2 Corinthians 12 talks about being buffeted by Satan. Talks about him being made strong by being weak. 2 Corinthians 12, start verse 7. And here Paul is talking. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure. So he says, here, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, representing God, representing Jesus. He says, he recognized and saw that, you know, unless I be exalted above measure, in other words, I become puffed up by the abundance of the revelations, what God has revealed to him, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. God used Satan to bring Paul to a certain state in his life, to be weak. Some type of physical situation. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, God said to him, no, my grace or my favor is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the meaning for this favor or this grace refers to God's miraculous assistance in his conversion to his mindset. It says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, don't boast about how great we are. Boast about how weak we are and how much we need God. And then Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we think that we know everything, that we have the answers for everything, that we have to tell everyone what to do or we won't listen, we don't have the attitude of humility, then God can't work with us. Proverbs chapter 6. We have this whole book that tells us how we're supposed to live. We have the tools, many tools, not just fasting. We have a lot of tools to help us to overcome. Proverbs chapter 6. Mrs. Elliott is here today, and I remember Mr. Elliott would always come to this scripture. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16, these 6 things the Lord hates. He hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him. It all starts with verse 17, a proud look. Oh, a proud look. Instead of being humble, we have this proud look. When we see that in ourselves, we need to recognize it and get rid of it. Because from there, it produces a lying tongue. Produces hands that shed innocent blood. Now we could look at it at, oh, this is extreme, I'm killing someone, but no. Also about, my hands are not there to help and serve and give. It's all about me. A heart that deceives wicked plans. The focus is on me. My plans. Praying about me. I'm not praying about others. Feet that are swift and running to evil. I quickly gotta do my things. The focus is on me. I have issues. I have problems. I gotta focus on me. Instead of thinking about others that also have issues. Jesus Christ suffered. He gave of himself. He wore out his body to love others at the expense of himself. He didn't have a proud look. A false witness speaks lies. What do we do in our lives when certain situations come up? Now, I can get out of this situation if I just say this. Yes, I messed up, but I can't admit it. I want to get out of it, and from there, I'll go on, and I won't lie anymore. When we continue that process, then we come to even to that point as we continue in this, one who sows discord among the brethren causes strife. Jesus Christ and God the Father love us and care for us and are willing to sacrifice themselves. What about us? We are to bear with one another in love. Psalm 35:13, just want to read it. Talks about fasting for humility. David says in that verse, in the middle of that verse, he says, I humbled myself with fasting. We can't humble ourselves to the point that God wants without fasting. Godly humility will get his attention. Isaiah 66:2 says, for all those my hand has made, and all those exist. Everything that God has made. But says the Lord, but on this will I look. Yeah, I've got all these things out here, but this is what I will look on him who was poor and of a contrite spirit, one who trembles at my word. Is that you? Is that me? Are we willing to overcome? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to apply it in our lives other than just on the Day of Atonement? The right fast will produce results. It will help us to overcome sin. God says, just do it. Have the right attitude. The fast that God chooses is to seek humility. And through humility, we can seek his character. And then his character is developed in us through becoming weak. By not focusing on the physical things, but to focus on the spiritual things. Otherwise, we would not be able to overcome. In Matthew 17, before I read that scripture, I want to read another scripture. 1 John 5:4, Jesus Christ says, for whatever is born of God, in other words, whatever has been engendered from above, whoever has been called, received that Holy Spirit, we know who are the sons of God. It's those who are led by God's Holy Spirit. It says, whoever is born of God, they overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's our faith that overcomes the world. So with that thought process, Matthew 17, it's our last scripture. Matthew 17, we have a situation. The disciples are able to do miracles, healings for the people. But here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, they were unable to do a miracle. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So in other words, hey, he hasn't control of his body. A demon is in his body. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They're able to do some other miracles and other things, but they're not able to do this particular miracle. And what does Jesus say? Verse 17, he answered and said, "O faithless and perverse," not just faithless, but perverse generation, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And then Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Because of faith. "For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed," you have a little bit of faith, "and you do not doubt, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will be moved. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So yes, faith is involved. Prayer and fasting is involved. But when fasting is put into action, it's a very powerful tool. God hears. God sees. Next time, part two on fasting to overcome our weaknesses. Next title will be, "What does it mean to apply our faith in a fast?"